Hello, welcome to the catch up. A jammed, packed one for you today.
Oh yeah, we talked about jury duty because there's a couple of big cases on, and we took a look behind the murky world of being on the jury.
And also, how much did your stupid dog cost you?
Stop saying that.
It's so offensive.
It's my idea because these stupid sticky uppy ear bulldogs. I thought that the highest they could go was $3,000, and we found out that is less than a fifth of what some of these dogs are going for.
You do the maths. It is the Marto Ned Cavalier catch-up.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
What's going on with jury duty? Like on the movies, you have to stay locked up in a motel hotel
seconded.
Forever.
Isn't it called seconded or sequestered?
And you
it's
don't
one
get
of the paid a lot, I don't think. We don't know. No one around here seems to know anything about jury duty. Is there anyone listening who's done jury duty? Have you?
Yeah.
What happens in there and what instructions are you getting? Was it fun? My mum did a case years ago. She loved it. 20 years later, she still talks about it.
We won't ask you specifics about the actual case. We just want to know what the general experience of being on a jury is like. We're not allowed to do it.
I didn't think it was a 9-to-5 gig. I thought it was you're here until we get this done, like at school, when if no one owns up, we could be here all day.
James from Jimboomba. When did you do jury duty, James?
Guys, I did jury duty back, it was about 10 years ago now. It was about 2007 I did it as a young 18-year-old bloke.
What happened then?
18 years old?
Did you?
Yeah, so I guess I was lucky in the sense I was a struggling musician at the time, and when jury duty came up and they said, mate, you get paid $100 a day to come in and sit on a case, I thought, yeah, great, no worries.
Is that what it is, $100 a day? That's almost what Dave Taylor's going to get at the Raiders.
And what was it like? It was back then, yeah.
And what was it like to actually do it? Like, did you find it hard to... I would find it hard to concentrate all day. When, you know, it's quite important.
Look, it is tough. It is tough, and particularly when you get some of the more intense trials, it's really hard to sit there and focus on every key piece of evidence all day, every day. It is tough.
Did they used to lock you up? So you're saying 10 years ago. Did you stay overnight in a hotel or did you get home?
Yeah, mate, no, we stayed in a hotel. So after when we went into deliberation, so after all the evidence had been presented, we'd go into deliberation, and that was when they put us in a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
But they'd transport us down in a bus to the Gold Coast.
What?
To stay overnight, and then they transport us back first thing in the morning.
Did you go out or anything?
A bit no, mate, no, no. Stuck in your room.
Oh, okay.
And thanks, James.
TVs were disabled.
Yeah, TVs, no
oh
TVs,
my
that's
God.
Right. And this is before, I guess 10 years is slightly before smartphones, so you couldn't just jump on that. Mm. Jason from Griffin. Now, when were you a juror, Jason?
6 years ago.
What case were you on? Are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, for sure. It was a murder case.
Ooh.
Oh, dear.
It went for 4 days. We had 2 days of the court case, and then it took us another 2 days in deliberations.
What are the deliberations like? Like you're sitting in a room with another 11 people. Who does all the talking? What happens there?
Well, you've got your jury leader, and once again, you know, it's amongst everybody that's there. Our biggest problem that we had was we had some quite young people there, 19, 18 years old. We had three of them there, which really made the deliberation difficult because information was damning what had happened in the case, and majority of us were all convinced of what the outcome was going to be. But the other three that were there felt responsible, you know, if they made a deliberation that was going to put this person in jail, that they felt responsible for it. So, yeah.
Right. So you were stuck where this case is at the moment. How did it come to a resolution?
I guess the judge sat down with us, and after, you know, we couldn't come to an agreement, and he went through the facts again and basically saying, you know, come on, guys, it's all there in front of you, you know, you guys need to come to a decision. And we, I guess the more mature jury members got our message across to the other guys, and finally, you know, they agreed.
Yeah, you got... A result of a jury.
So the only people who want to do a jury duty is old people and young people. Like people with a normal job, you can't really
That's right. I think it's about time. It's about time. Michael is from Petrie. Now, Michael, how many times have you done jury duty?
Three times.
Oh, you're basically an officer of the court.
Wow.
And
were you allowed to go home when you did it?
Yeah, we were. I did it two times 10 years ago. And about 18 months ago, I got on a case and it was a 6-day.
What happens if the missus says what happened in jury duty today? I can't tell you.
It was nice. I didn't have to tell her anything. We didn't have to speak.
Okay.
And tell me, with the deliberations, we've heard from Jason, what were the deliberations like? Was it a bunch of people that were all of one mind and you were sort of convincing a couple of others? Or how did it go for you?
Yeah, it was actually. It was probably sort of like about a 8 or 9 to 2 or 3. And really had to go through everything. A lot of questions asked. We went back in a few times to get, clear and concise instruction. And then we go back and, it was two to three days of our deliberation on the last one.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael. Let's just say that for some reason you were in court yourself. Would you, knowing what you know from the inside of the workings of juries, having done it three times, would you prefer to have a case that was decided by a judge or by a jury?
By a judge.
You can't trust those juries.
A lot of people say that.
Wow.
That's very interesting. Thank you, Michael. Hey, Michael, if Marto's ever up, just remember he's your mate, you know? He's all right.
Easy. There's no need for that.
Yeah,
Michael, we've said goodbye to you. Thanks.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, Marto, very murky is the best way to describe this story, I would say, so far. 18 Crown employees, talking about the gambling Crown, being questioned by Chinese authorities over in China. Not many details, but apparently it's all about getting Chinese people to come to Australia and to gamble at the various Crown casinos,
so
with what they call
Crown have got what at the moment got Melbourne and Perth. They bring in the high rolling Chinese over.
VIP destination tours is how they get around the Chinese laws, because in China it is illegal to take more than 10, I believe it is, Chinese nationals out of the country for them to gamble.
Oh, I heard it was illegal to promote casinos gaming in mainland China, but what's the place they steer them all to? Macau.
Which I've been to. Now, Macau is a former Portuguese colony, which is a little bit further afield than Hong Kong, and it is casino central.
Is it like Las Vegas, or that's a totally different feel?
The feel is, at Macau, come in, spend your money, now get lost. Yeah. They've got entertainment, but it's nowhere near the kind of... It seems, you know what it was, Marto?
What?
It seemed more like gambling was just a business without having to pretend that's got any of the bells and whistles around it that make it look like you're not just losing your money.
Uh-huh.
That's what Macau felt like.
Did you know Crown, over this whole thing, have lost, from the value of their company on the share market, dropped 14% on Monday, $1.3 billion that knocks off the company's value. This is big, big, big money.
Can I give you a little something that's been going on in China?
Yes, please.
This is what's going on is that the president of China has been doing a corruption crackdown in Macau.
I believe he doesn't like gambling. Would that be correct?
He's not that impressed by it. And Chinese high rollers have been having to go further afield than Macau because of those troubles. In 2015, police arrested 13 South Korean casino managers and 34 Chinese agents for selling packages. Now, this is where it gets feisty. With free tours, free hotels, and brief love services.
Ooh. Oh.
What does that mean?
Oh, don't even try. Well, that's what's going on. Can I tell you, yeah, that mate of ours we've got in Shanghai, I wrote to him last night. I wake up this morning and I've just gone, mate, can you tell, do you know anything about the packer thing? Because he lives in Shanghai. There's 30 million people in Shanghai. This is where the problems, where they've been arrested. He's gone, I've spoken with my Chinese connections and my connection in the Macau casino industry, and they've told me the following. It goes for a while. I'm going to estimate it all. Casino industry guys said this has been going on for years with random arrests of those breaching the government laws. As you said, no promotion of gambling in mainland China other than sending them to Macau. Most of the companies like MGM, Sands, etc. stopped a few years ago, but Crown has obviously decided they would continue the practice. The government generally turns a blind eye because they have transparency of all gaming in Macau. However, if you are looking at grabbing Chinese high rollers to destinations where money has been taken offshore, then they will crack down. And you made the, here you go, made it clear, the arrest of 13 Koreans a few years ago and also casino operators from Vietnam. Yep. Everyone wants the Chinese high rollers because they're worth, there's so many billionaires in China now.
Well, they've just overtaken America. They've got more billionaires in China, socialist country, by the way, let's not forget that, or even communist. And they've got more billionaires in China than they do in America. They have set bail, Marta. They've set bail for the 18 Australians that are over there. Yeah. Apparently, the Chinese authorities want a case of baby formula. They can have that.
Ed, I get nervous when you just told me, when I said, what are we talk about after the news, and you just told me what you'd like to talk about. I'm nervous for you. I'm nervous for us.
You can't. I want to talk about dogs. I want to talk about pets. And I want to talk about the cost of them.
That's what I worry about.
I'm on record as saying that I'm not pro dogs.
No.
And that's you always say that that's an unpopular position to take, but that's the truth.
You call them silly and a waste of time.
You hate dogs.
Yeah, I hate dogs.
Yeah, well, that's why when you said, let's talk dogs, I get nervous.
Well, do you want to do my original version of the topic, my original phrasing or the friendlier phrasing?
No, original. I'll run with it.
All right. How much did your stupid dog cost you?
Why are you asking this question?
Two of my stupid friends decided they wanted two stupid dogs, and they wanted those stupid dogs with the little pointy uppy ears. Oh. I don't know what they're called, but they're in fashion. The idea that
pointy
some dogs
ears.
Are... The idea that breeds of dog could come in and out of fashion to me is ridiculous anyway. So they wanted two of those stupid dogs. And they got told, they fell for this. Yeah. They got told by a breeder in New South Wales. Yeah, I got two of those stupid dogs. They cost $3,000 each.
Oh, now I can see why you're asking the question. $3,000.
Per dog. And I said, oh, cool, I guess that's the end of that. No, we paid it.
Paid $6,000 for a pair of dogs.
Then they found out. Well, they had to go and pick up the stupid dogs.
What do they care? Travel in stupid dogs?
No. See, that's the thing, Marto. Mm. The stupid dogs were picked up from a local breeder. To which I said,
Wait. You're charging $3,000. I want them to fly the plane for that much.
And I said exactly that. I said, how do you know that they're from that breeder that you said? Oh, no, we know. Well, hang on. How much are those dogs?
You reckon there's been a Swifty pulled here?
How much are those dogs if you buy them locally? Oh, I think they're cheaper because they're not as good. They're about $1,700, $1,800. I said, are you people...
Idiots.
Yeah.
Stupid.
You know what's happened, don't you? They're pretending they've got this other breeder in New South Wales so that you pay more for your stupid dogs.
Oh, does this go on in the dog world? Well, it obviously does.
And they were adamant that that didn't happen.
That's the world record, is it? Have you ever heard anyone paying more than $3,000 a dog?
I couldn't
even $1,700. I thought they were just three. I've never paid more than $350, I don't think.
What is the going rate for a dog? Or a pet, you know, because I told you that I had another friend. I used to have a friend who was, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, who was into reptiles and birds, and he was saving up $10,000 for a parrot.
Holy hell. Where was it coming from, overseas or something?
Oh, yeah.
Out of somebody's backside importing that in. Imagine pulling a bird out of your bum.
How much did your stupid pet cost you?
Pets now, not just dogs. Yeah, don't limit it to dogs.
Yep, here's Matt. Matt's from Bow Desert.
Where do we start the bidding for your stupid pet, Matt?
Mate, $2,500.
You bought it or sold it?
I sold one.
Wow, what did you sell?
Working Kelpie.
Oh, see, that's different. That was a working dog that knew how to do things, correct?
But it,
no, he didn't know how to do things yet. He was only a baby.
Oh. But you wouldn't have sold that to a farmer. You've sold that to city folk, haven't you?
No, no, it was to a farmer.
Why would a farmer spend $2,500? He can just get them to have their own litters and teach them from fresh.
Oh, a good dog's worth 4 minutes back out in the yards.
Righto.
See? See, Matt's found the loophole in my theory straight away because that's a working dog.
Yeah, okay.
I'll accept that, Matt. Yeah,
it's
okay.
Still
straight
two and
away.
A half. Mate, I reckon you'd get a Kelpie for $500 most. Anyway.
Here's Brad. How much did your stupid dog cost you, Brad?
One was $3,000, one was $500.
Oh, Brad,
Hang on. Why the price? This is what I'm talking about.
Are they
why
the same
price
dog?
Discrepancy? Yeah, why was it different about them?
One had papers, one didn't have papers.
But...
You're paying for a piece of paper.
Couldn't you just photocopy the first piece?
Yeah, pretty much so. But if you're going to breed them, you need the papers.
But let me ask you this, Brad. Now that you spent all the money on one of the dogs, over the journey, was that dog healthier? Was it more loyal? Was it better to have around?
Nah, they're both the same.
So hold on. $1,800 difference and they're both the same. What dog did you say they were?
Staffies. Both Staffies.
Yeah, oh, see, Staffies are a rip-off. Are Staffies a rip-off, Brad?
The French Bulldogs you were looking at, my partner was looking at them, and they go from between 12 to 15,000.
Are they the pointy up-ear ones Ed was talking about?
Yeah.
12?
One of those dogs on Modern Family, they are.
Oh, is that what happened, Brad? Is that how those dogs got popular?
Yes.
Oh, that's too good.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, they didn't sell any more Labradors when Bouncer was on Neighbours. They just was
part
of the
because they're everywhere. Now, hold on. Ryan, what have you got? You've got a strange breed of stupid dog, I think Ed would call it.
My stupid dog is an Italian Mastiff.
Yes.
Otherwise known as a Cane Corso.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Righto, yeah. What can they do? What's so special about them?
Well, these ones date back to like the old Roman days where they fight in the Colosseum. Since then, they were adopted by Italian farmers for like livestock protection and all that jazz.
Do they have a really loose neck from where the lions they were bred? The lions could shake them around and it wouldn't kill them.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's like mine's bigger than most, so it's a little droopier than the rest. Mine's a 60-kilo dog.
Holy hell.
They range from the standard, I guess, the breed standard male is 45 to 50. Oof. So I got the bigger end.
Well, we haven't heard a figure now, a dollar figure.
Ask him the question, Marto. No, you got to ask
the question. How much did you pay for your stupid dog?
Mine's $4,000. And you'll love this one. This is the killer. Yeah. It's co-owned. So what? I don't even own him outright.
Who with? What? The bank? Who?
Yeah.
This is like a racing syndicate.
Yeah. So co-ownership is an agreement between me and the breeder, whereas he retains all the breeding rights to it,
and
then I own him as the dog. So he lives with me, I feed him, I pay for everything else.
So you don't even own the dog sperm? You own the dog, but not a sperm bank.
Oh but, God.
Jesus, yeah. Holy hell.
You win.
If you guys want to know the world's richest dog, it is the... $1.5 million US.
What?
And it's a Tibetan Mastiff.
Oh yeah, they're massive.
Things are huge. But these ones are they're true red.
Do you get to own its sperm?
Oh, I get to. You get.
Well, can people stop swearing on it, please? The second time this week.
Wasn't us.
We are going to get Ryan to call in and apologise tomorrow, just like Casey from Bo's Desert did the other day.
Yeah, we do. But we're going to read out Lee to finish the show. That was because we want to read out Lee.
Yeah, go on.
You almost want to come back to Lee. That's a bit of fun.
We'll
Lee,
come back for Lee.
Lee from Wakerley.
Hi.
Do you know what those pointy ear dogs are called?
French Bulldogs, I think.
Is that the one? French Bulldogs. Now, Lee, they've suddenly so popular, and we've heard it was because they're on Modern Family. Have you got a connection to the sale of these dogs?
A friend of my sister's sells them for up to $25,000.
What?
Mm-mm. I know.
Mighty
mind-boggling.
Mighty fine. How many do they have at a time in a litter? Is it like six or five or something?
Yeah, I think they do. They have around six. All right, yeah.
What?
And they sell these lavender, I think they're lavender, I'm not sure if they're bulldogs, but yeah, they're pretty expensive.
Hang on, what do you mean lavender? If the colour is of them is lavender, or the smell of lavender?
Yeah, they're like a bluey grey sort of colour. They're called lavender.
Oh yeah.
Oh, put me down for two. How much are they?
$25,000
I think they're up to 25,000.
Hey, Lee, thank you so much. We have a winner. They are the stupidest dogs, and they cost the most. Here's what I'm going to do for you, Marta.
Jeez, wouldn't you if you came home and there was the bloody the local mongrels getting stuck into it. Jesus.
Not that. What we'll do is we'll go get a rescue dog. We'll get a mongrel, right? Yeah. We'll dye it lavender. We'll get some hairspray and stick its ears up, and we'll make a packet.
Tell you what, the big news, and we've already had it on our news, speculating. We had Sturlo speculating about Benji Marshall moving up to Brisbane. That's last chance saloon for him. See Wayne Bennett yesterday. Sturlo said, I don't know where they'd play him because they got Ben Harder, Anthony Milford. Wayne Bennett came out yesterday and said, if Benji comes to the Broncos, that is an if, he will not be replacing Ben Hunt or Anthony Milford. Where does he go?
Well, you go on. Where would you play him?
Well, there's two reasons. They've got him for Origin period. They specifically will pick him up
That's
to cover
smart.
Milford in Origin period.
Yes.
Other than that, he'll be the backup to Alan Langer.
Backup water boy.
Yep. Just mate. Well, Alfie can't do these 73 minutes anymore.
Yes,
surely.
You reckon yes, he can. And Alfie plays through Origin period as well. Alfie's on the field. If you go, when last time I went to a Broncos game, I was sitting with young Gordon Tallis, and halfway through the first half, I think Gordy had looked up from the curry he was eating. And
really?
Really, yeah. I said, I think he was just mopping up some sauce with a naan. And I said, Gordy, does Alfie... And he didn't even let me finish. He goes, yeah, mate, he's on the field 80 minutes.
The whole game. There's no one else like it. Listen, the other one, the Broncos, well, not the Broncos, but Redcliffe Dolphins are in negotiation with, which is the Broncos feeder club. So obviously he's the NRL bad boy. Remember that Matt Lodge who got in trouble in New York with a bit of an assault, etc.?
Oh, those are some allegations with some
big,
some
tough
girls
bloke. And what does Wayne love to do? He loves to rehabilitate young men who've gone off the rails. So there's another one to keep an eye on. And now your favourite rugby league player. This is all player movements we're talking about. Dave Taylor finished
big
at Catalans. When Catalans sack you, you know you've gone to the bottom of the heap of rugby league.
He had reached the logical end of his time in France. He'd seen all of the great Monets. He'd been to the palace at Versailles. He'd read Voltaire, and he wanted a new intellectual challenge. So he's moving to the seat of power in
the
Australia. Yeah, he's going to Canberra.
Fair dinkum, mate. He is at the bottom. He was making $400,000 a year 2 seasons ago playing for the Titans, and he blew it. Now he's been throwing a lifeline. Guess what they're offering him? So I've worked out $400,000 a year works out at $8,000 a week. He's now been offered $930 a week to come down and train and prove that he wants to do this.
I'm not a mathematician, but it feels like less money.
It feels
a touch.
It is.
I got one on.
I've got it written down here. It is less money. Okay. Your favourite player. Does that mean you'll be supporting the Raiders now?
They are officially my second team.
Oh, are
and
they?
I'm happy to kick in. If I have to kick in a couple of bucks to get Dave a jersey, I'm happy to do it.
Crowdfunding your favourite rugby league player.
We should crowdfund Dave Taylor's salary. Just quickly, in the AFL. This is the thing with GWS play. So I got a GWS play. You say, who cares? I say, okay, well, then apparently the allegation is that he hid at an official's house when he thought there might be a drug test on.
Yeah, this is Lockie Whitfield. I've seen a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold on, he hid.
Yeah, well, that's the allegation. The other allegation is that there was an ex-girlfriend who was scorned who brought the whole thing to light.
Oh, is that what's happened?
Yes. Now it looks like ASADA might think about getting involved. Now, do you think the AFL and ASADA are best friends after the Essendon debacle?
Oh, good Lord. No, they've been fighting for 4 years now.
So why do we care? Because one of these officials is now coming to the Brisbane Lions.
No, Craig Lambert. He's in charge of all the young blokes here at the Lions.
Yeah, and the welfare, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, he keeps an eye on everyone.
Now, the problem is that there is if it all goes down the line, it's the old 2-year, 3-year ban situation.
Oh, what? For not doing a drug test. That's as bad as failing one.
And if you've been, you know, if you've been hiding people from said drug test, then you could be in some trouble as well. So, look, all I'm saying is that if Dave Taylor plays his cards right, he could end up on the Lions.
Oh, good work. Doing what?
Well, playing. Yeah. He could play some AFL, 125 kilos.
Actually, I've seen him chip. He goes all right.
The Bullets are back. Can't get to the game? Download the NBL TV app to watch your Brisbane Bullets live and free.
Mudder, I was with two very different footballers last night doing some work, and one of them is Stevie Johnson, who is in the AFL.
Stevie J.
Yeah, Stevie J, and now plays for Greater Western Sydney. You know, he missed out on the preliminary final because he had a bump. Anyway, he's a champion of the game.
Yeah.
He's a country lad, and it was about, we were doing something around clothes, and he rocked up, and I said, oh, yeah, where'd you get? I said, he just had a shirt on and some shorts, some old sneakers.
Yeah.
And I said, the shorts, they looked like ancient, like your sort of shorts. Yeah, yeah. Just being held together by willpower.
Okay.
And I said, where'd you get them, Stevie? And he goes, hmm? I said, where'd you get those shorts? He goes, I don't know.
Oh, I like,
I said,
Stevie,
what do you mean you don't know? Did you just find them on the street on the way here?
Yeah.
He goes, no, no, no. I said, where'd you get that shirt? He goes, I don't know. And I thought, okay, he just doesn't want to talk to me. I said, yeah, that's fine. I'm boring people. That's normal.
You love talking to people. Yeah.
And then I said, okay, well, what about the shoes? Surely they were from a sponsor. And he looked at me and he goes, no, because that's not what I normally wear. I don't know where I got these either. And I said, so you don't know where you got any of those clothes that you're wearing?
He goes, what do you mean he doesn't know? He just had no idea their origins.
They just appeared in his house.
His wife would have bought them.
I thought that. I said, did your partner buy him? He goes, maybe, probably.
I like Stevie J. He doesn't care what he looks like, does he?
He's fantastic. He is a great guy. I think he had a handful of Maltesers at the time. And then...
oh, my God, I love him even more. My favourite sweet.
On the other side of the coin, Matt Cooper was there.
St George.
Yeah, St George, yeah. Australia, and the Bullet, and played for New South Wales in the Origin. And after we'd finished talking about the time that Hodgson threw it behind Matt King and Lockyer picked it up to score...
Yes.
He was keen to change the topic.
Yeah.
And he, because he is a part-time model.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's very handsome. He's my wife's favourite sort of football-y type. When I showed her the photo, I was like, I'm working with this bloke. She's like, oh, yes, from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, is he on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, eh? I bet you he cares what he wears.
Oh, yeah. He's a real fashion guy. And he was there with Stevie, and he was sort of shaking his head. And then I said, well, look at this. Stevie, sometimes men know where they get their clothes. Look at this. And then Matt went through everywhere he'd bought, shoes, shorts, shirt, and a little jumper. He knew exactly where he'd got it, how much he'd paid for it, what else he got with the same thing.
He's the new style of guy.
He's new style.
Yeah.
And then I thought, where do you get your clothes? Where do you get your clothes?
I buy my own shoes.
Okay.
Socks, Cath buys, undies, Cath buys. Fox Sports are my jeans. They supply my jeans. Shorts and shoes. Cath buys my shirts. And
T-shirts?
Hats. I'll buy hats as well. So I know where I get my toweling hats. I know where I get my toweling shorts. And I buy T-shirt. Oh, no. Shoes. Yeah.
Where do men get their clothes? Where do you get your clothes?
They just arrive in the house.
Yeah, do you just...
Because when your wife buys lots of stuff, she'll buy... I noticed the other day, I got four pairs of socks because Kath had bought a heap of clothes, and then I get four pairs of socks because it deflects me. I go, oh, socks, and I don't notice them carrying stuff into the house.
Are you waiting for the sock fairy to arrive? But your girlfriend's not going to go out and buy your Hi-Viz for you.
No.
Don't you have to buy that?
I can get that at a hardware store now. They made it so easy. Do you know there's a menswear section in hardware stores now?
There is.
You can get your shoes, you can get your pants, and you can get your shirts. You can.
I'm going to make a claim.
What?
Anyone under the age of 32 is going to be able to tell us exactly where they get all of their clothes.
Oh, that's interesting. They buy their own, whereas blokes over 32 do not.
Just wait for somehow clothes to magically appear on their body.
Where do men get their clothes? Come on, fellas.
Where do you
that's good. Get your clothes.
Then we'll get some girls too saying, yeah, I bought him some chinos and he won't wear them.
Oh, God. You need a phone pole. You're going to
need a phone pole. Phone pole. Where do you get your clothes, men? I was with two footballers last night. One who was an avid fashionista. The other one who had no idea where his own shorts had come from.
Good boy.
And I thought, where do men get their clothes?
I just looked down at my T-shirt now. I like it when, I think Daughter brought it back from overseas. I love it when people buy stuff from overseas, like T-shirts, because then no one else has got that shirt.
Ooh. That's very true. Amy from Petrie. Amy.
Hiya.
Hello there. Yeah, you've got a boyfriend. He's 31. Where does he get his clothes?
I've bought everything for him.
You buy everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
What does he do?
The only things he won't wear is the RM shirt.
Oh, really? How come?
Oh, because they're too expensive or something, I guess.
But now, what will he accept, Amy? Will he accept a pair? My wife's trying to get me into chinos. God knows why. Will your boyfriend accept a pair of chinos?
No, I would never put him in them.
But you buy him jeans, Amy?
Yes, I've bought him jeans. I've bought him everything.
Does he go with you when you're buying them, or you just measure his foot, you measure his bum, you measure everything, and then off you go?
It's mostly trial and error. A lot of things get exchanged.
Send you back. Oh, God.
That's no good, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Yes.
Trent's from Caboolture. All right, Trent. I said that men under 32, they'll be able to tell
how
us exactly.
How old is he?
Yeah, how old are you?
25.
25, okay. Right.
Where do you get your gear, Trent?
Oh, I don't know. I buy me work shirts and me work boots and that's it.
Okay. But where do you buy, where do you buy them from? At the hardware store?
No, Kmart.
Okay.
Now, but what about other stuff, Trent? What about like your other, you know,
going out?
Yeah.
No, I give money to me missus and tell her to go and buy it.
Right, okay.
I hate shopping. Yeah. I hate crowds of people.
Me too.
If I can stay away from them, I do.
That Kmart's dangerous enough anyway, isn't it?
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Right. Before you know, you've got a box set of Gilmore Girls you didn't want.
Get the missus. What, Emma from Shaler Park, what are you doing clothes-wise?
I always buy all my partner's clothes. I had for about 10 years, to be honest. So
his going out gear, like his loving gear or his work gear?
Both. I buy both. I actually work at a hardware shop, so I get all his high-vis clothes for him.
All right.
Now, have you ever brought anything home, Emma, and he's going, I'm not wearing that?
Not really. I've been with him for 14 years, so I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. So.
Okay. Hey, listen, is he one of those blokes that wears high-vis on weekends?
No, only to work.
Yeah, good.
I won't let him out on the weekend with hype biz.
No,
exactly. I love that.
What do you think of those blokes, Emma?
Hype biz is for work. Yeah.
They need an Emma in their life, don't they?
Yes.
Those blokes.
Thank you, Emma.
This is amazing.
I knew it, man. I knew it. Anthony.
Blokes just don't go into shops.
Anthony's from Toowoomba.
I get my clothes at Rivers Clothing because they sell work clothes, they sell casual clothes.
And they're clothes for the bigger man too, aren't they?
Oh, yes, and the smaller man as well. Mm, and I'm 50 years of age and I can go and buy my own clothes there and choose what fashion I want to wear.
Wow. Yeah, but Anthony, don't you have the reverse problem? If you come home with something that your partner doesn't like, aren't you sent back to exchange it?
No.
Not at all, mate. No. I make my own decisions.
That's right.
Jeez.
Men of our age, we know where we're at in life.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
What a man of the world. I would say that I think Uniqlo has some wonderful clothing for men, different types of men.
Of course you would.
Is this one of your sponsors?
Oh, I can't confirm or deny that.
Guess we'll find out. The results are in.
Yeah.
It's huge. 88% say their partners buy their clothes.
It.
Well
I
done, Brisbane
it.
Men. Super lazy.
Marto, launch of a new app called Found. Mm-hmm. They're calling it Tinder for Jobs, and it's about helping young people find employment as the world changes. You've got yourself two teenagers, one who's very much looking for work at the moment, another one who will be soon.
I've got one who's got two part-time jobs looking for a third one.
Okay.
That seems to be her way.
Well, here is Andrew Joyce, the founder of the job hunting app for young people, Found. Morning, Andrew.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
What does Tinder for Jobs mean?
Yeah, look, we started this business late last year really around the idea that the way that young people find jobs really lags the way that they do everything else in life. And so we're young guys ourselves. We looked at this and going, hey, really creating CVs and filling out lots of web forms is pretty crazy for young people now. So we wanted to build something that lets them find jobs on their phone without needing a CV and do it fast, really.
What do the statistics say about youth unemployment? How high is it?
Yeah, look, youth unemployment's around double what the national rate is. And so there's a lot of people unemployed. And at the same time as well, you mentioned looking for a third job. Underemployment's another thing that's massive. So about 30% of our young people are either unemployed and looking, or have got some work and are looking for more work. So it's a massive number.
Hey, do they want, like I've got an 18-year-old and a 7-year-old, one still at school, one just out. Now, I call them the scrolling generation, where everything, whether it's on their phone or in life, they move so bloody quickly. Is it impossible to find jobs for people who, oh, no, I'll have enough of that? Like, I see a lot of my daughter's friends have changed courses straight after that first semester. They moved on to the next one. Nearly all of them seem to have made new decisions. Mm. They're hard to please.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And at the same time, a lot of businesses really don't know how to deal with young people as well these days. So The way that a lot of people hire these young people now, it's just completely irrelevant and ridiculous. So you look at sort of the traditional job sites online, they're really kind of like online newspaper ads. They're nothing like what young people look at now. So when we built this app, we kind of looked at, hey, what do young people use every day? And we built it around, you know, a little bit like Instagram, a little bit like Tinder, and it's all on the mobile.
Take it to them. Take it to the
good thinking
platforms that they understand. Well, mate, if it gets kids more work and if it helps people who are looking to fill positions, find young people and get them into the workforce and getting them that feeling of, you know how good you feel when you get a job, Marto? I mean, I've always, I can't remember the last time I had one job. I've always had tried to have, you know, one
Me
or two,
too,
or sometimes
at the same
three.
Time.
You always feel fantastic when you get that bit of employment, Andrew.
Absolutely. And look, now's the time for young people who want work over Christmas time as well. So we're seeing a massive number of employers starting to come on now. And really, to the young people out there, if you want work after school, for the school holidays or after uni, get onto it now, because if you leave it until November or December, it'll be too late.
Andrew, can I just ask you, no CV needed. How do you, if I'm an employer, I'm looking for a young bloke or something, how do I know who the hell he is?
Yeah, so for small businesses, they can go onto the app store, search Found for Business. They can download the app, create a job, and as soon as young people apply, it'll come through on the employer's phone. You can see a photo of the person. You can see their entire Found profile. So it includes all the stuff you'd normally see on the CV, like education, work experience, where they are. And for candidates, you just go online, download the Found for Job Seekers app, build a profile and start looking at jobs.
Good on you, mate. Andrew Joyce, founder of the job hunting app Found. It sounds like a great idea. And as I said, if it gets people working, gets the economy going, then it is a great thing to be doing. Thanks very much for your time.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys.
So, Marto, we saw the emergence of a new drug, which is never a good thing, called Flacca. And there were reports of there were scores of people that were suddenly overdosing on it. I think it was particularly bad on the Gold Coast.
Some bloke's still critically ill down there at a Gold Coast hospital, Ed.
Yeah, and their schoolies is coming up. We've obviously got the Gold Coast 600, and we want everyone to try and stay safe. So what we want to do, Marto, you can speak to endless researchers and this and that. We like to go to the very front line, and there's no one who is closer to the front line of seeing what's actually going on out there than our paramedics. They do an incredible job. They don't get the credit they deserve, Marto.
Yep. And we've got Stephen. Stephen from Queensland Ambulance Service. Thanks for joining us, mate. What was it like on the weekend?
Oh, it was pretty busy, I must say, Marto and Ed. It was very, very busy for all our frontline paramedics. And for us, you know, we were just wondering what was going on with so many patients presenting with these bizarre symptoms.
So you're rostered on a Saturday night in Gold Coast in the middle of Surface Paradise. You're expecting it to be busy, but what stage last Saturday night did you go, hold on, something's going on here?
From the moment of the call and our emergency medical dispatchers were receiving intel that the patients were presenting with quite bizarre hallucination symptoms and they would seem to be delirious. So our first point of contact, of course, is the 000 call, and our dispatchers determined that this is a situation that could very well be unsafe for our paramedics to respond to.
Yes.
So very early in the piece, we realised that there was an issue there. So so we notified Queensland Police if they could head there as well in order to support our paramedics and make sure they're safe.
Now, Stephen, we're talking to Stephen, a paramedic with Queensland Ambulance Services. So we're hearing that there's this new drug on the market, Flacca, and that it's this, you know, it's sending people crazy. From your experience, Stephen, is that what you're seeing? Is that reflecting what you're doing?
In terms of the type of drugs that these people consume, these dangerous drugs, I must emphasise.
Yes, of course.
Even to this day, I'm really not sure what it is in terms of the composition of the drug. I haven't seen any toxicology reports.
Okay.
Look, it really does present as some sort of methamphetamine type product. Okay. You know, obviously cut with other stuff.
Yes.
But, you know, some say like washing soda and some bizarre bits and pieces.
Bath salts.
Why would people put in their precious bodies such terrible, dangerous stuff?
And I saw an 18-year-old the other night going, it wasn't a normal trip. And I went, hold on, you're 18. How would you know, what is a normal trip? Why are they needing to do this? But you see eyes. You've been experiencing eyes for a while. Was it bigger than that? Was it worse than that?
I probably would say, look, it's hard to say because you know what?
with these dangerous drugs, they're sort of manufactured in all sorts of different ways. Yeah. But people would trip out in different ways. And the other thing also, guys, is that sometimes these people take other drugs at the same time, where they've got alcohol on board and all these other things that then really muddies the waters in terms of that. Look, with these people, they're such a danger to themselves and others, particularly on the Gold Coast. You can imagine with all the high-rise buildings.
Yes.
These people are delirious. They have no idea. And the trams and the traffic and the beaches and the canals. Yeah, I mean, as you might have heard, one of these patients on Saturday went swimming in one of the canals.
Jeez.
Very bull right, sharky.
Stephen, hey, but listen, when you treat them, though, aren't some of them violent? Like, what are you guys doing these days? It must be a horrible bloody job.
It is. Again, we rely very much on the intelligence that we receive from our emergency medical dispatchers. They do a great job and try to get as much detail. But we have police that support us. But also our paramedics are very, very well trained in identifying safety risks. So they're taught about, you know, being aware of the surroundings, being aware of not entering into a dangerous area, and also supporting each other. You know, we have two or more paramedics watching each other's back and retreating as soon as they have a sense that there's some danger there. So, and of course, with these patients in the back of an ambulance, if they go, you know, totally out of control in the back of an ambulance, where we have such, you know, a delicate and equipment, they could really harm themselves in the back of an ambulance.
Stephen is a paramedic with Queensland Ambulance Service. You guys do an incredible job. We thank you for everything that you do, mopping up the messes of other people all
good
day.
Good luck this weekend at the Gold Coast 600 too, Ed.
Yes, thanks, Stephen.
Thanks no worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate. I've had two requests in the last week or so for Marto. Can you help us with get a carpenter? I had one from a mate building these bush huts. You know how there's people got acreage and they're now doing... Yes. Building little huts, like one-bedroom places up the back of their properties to do Airbnb and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
I've got a mate who's doing that, and apparently it's starting to take off. And he wrote to me last week, the end of last week, and said, mate, you got any carpenters? And I said, oh, I've got one maybe that I know. And the one I go to is my greatest partner who I built with for 20 years, Shorey. And I said, just let me check with Shorey, but he's just about to start a job.
Okay, right,
so there's one. No, Monday... Yeah, Monday night time. Hey, Marto, how are you, mate? This is another bloke. Leo and Rob are looking for some carpenters to work permanently for their building company. Do you know of any guys?
Wow.
Mate, I'm getting them thick and fast because everyone's always looking for this mate of mine.
Yeah.
Same age as me, but his boss didn't allow him, when he did his apprenticeship, didn't allow him to use any air tools. Everything was hand-nailed. Everything was, everything was done by hand. It was incredible.
You and Shorey helped build the ark, didn't you? That was one of your
mate,
first
jobs. Mate, we worked together forever. We used to build build roofs. We'd mark them out on the ground and put them up. We didn't use trusses. He's the finest carpenter God ever put the breath into. So what I'm saying is that right at the moment, no, we can't help any of these people out.
Okay.
I want to know what makes a good carpenter. Like, I never really had to interview anyone. I'd just go... Especially if Kiwis. I used to think Kiwis were the best carpenters because I figured if you were working in the South Island, New Zealand, and you managed to finish your apprenticeship, you were tough and you were probably okay. You made sure you did plenty of work.
Mm.
But carpenters, probably two things. A, what makes a good carpenter? How would you know to employ these people? And B, if you need a job, if you're any good, which you will have to be, give us a yell.
This is great. Carpenters.
What
makes a good carpenter? If you are a good carpenter and can get through the Marto selection process, you might accidentally get yourself a job this morning.
Chris from... Where are you from, Chris? CBD from City.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Righto. How do you know a good carpenter?
Oh, just if they get all their... from the ground up, like all the levels are right and, you know, I'm finishing, like all the miters are good and no gaps because I'm actually a painter.
You're perfect because you're the one who covers up bad carpenters' jobs.
Well, pretty much, yeah, mate. I do the finishing work in a sense, you know, so, yeah.
So, do you recommend people, you go, listen, I tell you what, whoever did this work is a gun carpenter?
Yeah, mate, and also if they're using nail guns, sometimes the... nails must be on special because they just punch so many in, it makes it hard for us.
Yep, you got to fill all them. Yep.
A bit of overkill with them. It does look like fun, the nail gun, though, so I can understand why they might go overboard. Thank you, Chris.
That's what it's about. He's got to fill every one of those holes and then sand them. Oh, Peter from Beachmere, what do you reckon makes a good carpenter, mate?
Oh, exactly that. My uncle's carpenter, you might know him. He still works barefoot in his 60s.
barefoot.
Barefoot. Why barefoot does carpenter.
He's worked barefoot since I've ever known him.
Why?
Because he hates shoes. There's a story years ago. He went down to do the handrails at the casino, and they wouldn't let him in.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
They sent him across to Pacific Fair to buy some clothes, and they've stayed in the back of his ute for the rest of the time. And some boots.
What a classic.
It's going to
but he was brought up the old way. If it didn't marry up,
yeah,
off it came. And he quotes by the job, if it takes him an extra couple of days because it's not quite right, that's it. Bad luck.
He's a perfectionist. He's the sort of bloke you'd want. Is he still working?
Yeah, he's still working. He's got two sons in the job and a nephew.
Oh, he's a perfectionist.
He's like, he's Jesus. That was the last. It was the last barefoot carpenter was Jesus, and now this bloke. Paul is from Glasshouse Mountains. You are a carpenter. Paul, what makes a good carpenter?
Oh, I'm a carpenter, guys, and I think problem solving and fixing other people's stuff up and making it look right at the end, because I go to so many jobs where someone's attempted first and it just bodged it up. It's just fixing the bodgy jobs up and then making them look like they're supposed to look at the end, or how they're supposed to be, whether you've got to take the whole thing apart and redo it or...
Are you going to say it? Half the time the bodgy ones have been done by somebody who's watching TV and thought they could have a go.
Well, they've watched The Block, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't want to say that. But
I love
yeah,
it
enough.
When tradies go The Block. That is my favourite.
Do you watch The Block, Paul?
My wife does, and she gets me to have a look every time, and...
What is
I think she watched Backyard Blitz for Jamie Dury, but I think she watched it for those other two young fellas.
I think we all did.
Yes, I think we all did. Hey, Paul, thank you, everyone. I've got my criteria. My favourite carpenter ever was a guy called Bob, Bob the Builder, and he had a cat that he took to work and a
he took a cat to work.
A talking dump truck. And for me, that was the mark of quality.
Give him a tick. Sign off on Bob's work.
The Bullets are back. Can't get to the game? Download the NBL TV app to watch your Brisbane Bullets live and free.